Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, Kurt, man. It's on you, bro.
Hi. I can't sing, but I'm going to work hard for you to like me. Didn't dream, because if I failed, then I might be what they said I was. Could I ever say I did it? Tell Ye now that I'm second to admit it. Insecure, I can't understand the application. If I applied myself, I guess there'd be no situation. But who teaches who when every day's a substitute? I tried to plant love, but it never took root. My soul's got weeds and the roots are too deep. The roots don't sail because the roots are too deep. Wait, ADD, see my roots too deep. A kid too afraid to close his eyes and sleep. Can't you hear me stutter every time I speak? Fear said hello and she left me weak. Loved me and left me with abandonment issues. Pain's a secret, but it illuminates in you. Then it creates a menu. Put sin on your plate. You don't know until later how much ever you ate. Now I'm watching my weight. Will this album be my best one? But if it's not, y'all on to the next one. So hello, fear. It's about time we speak. It may take a while because our roots run deep.
Hey, man. We got to get that one more time. We had a technical difficulty in here.
Thank you. for all you're doing for us in our lives, Lord. Praise God. Thank you.
I stay praying to your
thank you. Thank you. But somewhere at the distance, As we mentioned last night, on the baptism with the Holy Spirit. And I want you to turn with me to the book of Acts. We're going to look at two or three verses in chapter 1, but really take a singular text at Acts chapter 2. As I told you, it's not good to come to camp meeting naked, so bring a Bible with you. We want you to be able to see the Word of God. There's just something about seeing the text that helps, that aids, that strengthens our faith as the minister ministers. And sometimes the words that the minister fails to emphasize, the Holy Ghost will jump off the page to you. So it's a win-win thing to bring a Bible to church. Somebody say amen. Acts chapter 1, we'll start with verses 4 and 5. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Drop down to verse 8. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Turn a little bit to the right to Acts 2, verses 32 and 33, from which we will take our text. Acts 2, 32 and 33. This Jesus, Peter speaking on the day of Pentecost, hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which you now see and hear. The power of the Holy Spirit is the power source of the Christian and the power source of the church. God never intended, I'm convinced through the study of the scriptures, that any of his people would only have a portion of what Jesus died to provide. I am assured that without all aspects of the Holy Spirit, there's things in my life that I could not achieve, things that I want, that God wants, that I could not arrive at, that I could not encounter, that I could not perform. Jesus didn't die on Calvary to give us part of the benefits of the new covenant. He died on Calvary that you and I might have all the benefits. Every single one of us. 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 All the benefits of what he died to bring to us on Calvary, leaving none out. But everything that God has, everything that God has ordained for you and for us, everything is appropriated by faith. And I will not try today to talk you into belief, because if you refuse to believe what God is offering, you won't receive anything. But if you'll hear in a few moments' time what we're about to say about the power of the Holy Spirit, and here's the desire, ladies and gentlemen, that you get hungry, that you desire more than anything. I don't care what your tradition is. I don't care where you came from. I don't care what anybody else has told you. If you'll have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying, if you'll have ears to hear what God wants, I believe you're going to hear him say, I want you filled with my power. I want you to have everything my son died to give you. I want you to have it all. And I'll tell you this, and this is to your advantage. I'm going to talk for a few minutes, speak for a few minutes, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I've been here since 1987. And God gave me the outlay of my messages a week ago, which is unique for me. Because a lot of times I don't know what I'm going to preach till the day of. I just don't know. But the messages that God has laid out for us in this camp are exactly what God wants us to hear. And in all those years since 1987, it may have happened, but I don't recall it. Whether it's a camp meeting or a preacher's rejuvenation, I don't ever remember the Holy Ghost guiding the speakers to speak in three services on the baptism with the Holy Ghost. Now, what that tells us, because you and I told you yesterday, these men, we don't get together and say, what shall we preach? So if God up in heaven is directing the ministers of a conference, of a camp meeting, to preach on the baptism with the Holy Ghost, get ready, Jesus wants you filled. Jesus wants you filled. And I'm going to minister this morning on the promise of the Father. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to minister to your people. Close up and shut up our mind from all things else and close it up to your word, that I might present quickly and efficiently those things that people need to hear, that faith might arise, that they might embrace, enjoy, and receive all that Jesus died to bring. That we would be hungry and thirsty. For you promised us if we be hungry and thirsty, we shall be filled. We ask it all today in the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen and amen. Pentecost is 50 days after Passover. In the Jewish lineup of feasts, 50 days. The Bible tells us that Jesus, after his resurrection, showed himself by many infallible proofs for 40 days. And then after he exhorted his disciples, in the exhortation that we read in chapter 1, 4, 1, 5, and 1, 8, he said, wait for the promise of the Father. And he tied it together in the terminology to the baptism with the Holy Spirit. He said, there's a need that you're going to have for power, and I'm going to send it, but wait for the promise of the Father. Tarry in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father. And so the disciples, those in attendance, would have gone to the arena of Jerusalem, and they wouldn't have waited entirely in an upper room, as some suppose. There must have been a meeting place that was there that was prevalent for them. But every afternoon, it was their practice to assemble in the temple and pray and seek God. And it was there that the power of God would fall. It was there in the temple that the Holy Spirit would come on the day of Pentecost, some 7 days after Jesus exhorted them. You say seven? I thought it was 10. No, I'm from Montana, and we count different. But when you have 40 days of infallible proof and you have 3 days and nights in the tomb, that's 43, and you just subtract 50 from 43, you get, okay, this is 5, this is 2, that's 7. And I could be wrong, but 7 days, it's tradition that we get stuck with, isn't it? Everybody celebrates Good Friday. What for? Jesus died on Wednesday, not Friday. Well, how does he spend 3 days and nights in the tomb if, okay, I know I'm from Montana, but we add 24 hours in a day three times and get up 72 hours. So he'd have to die Wednesday at 3, be buried before twilight on Wednesday at 6, and resurrect early Sunday morning, which would have been after dusk on Saturday, probably 6 or 7 in the evening our time. See, if we study our Bible, some of this would just... I didn't come to fool you. I just came to say Pentecost was 50 days after Passover, and Jesus spent 3 legitimate 24-hour days in the tomb and then was resurrected. And nobody knew it until early Sunday morning, when after a night of darkness, they made their way to the tomb and found it empty. Aren't you glad that you serve a Christ that's not in the tomb this morning? So Jesus is alive, and he ascends unto the right hand of the Father, and his disciples move towards the realm of Jerusalem. And it's on the day of Pentecost that the new covenant is installed. It was at Calvary that the new covenant was paid for, but it was on the day of Pentecost that the new covenant is installed. From the day of Pentecost and forward, everything that Jesus died, that was prophesied, that was promised, becomes available to all of humanity that will believe. All that the prophets would declare. Joel 2 and 28, as Brother Swigert ministered last night, it is so powerful, stated that in the last days I will pour out of all upon all flesh. Upon some flesh. All flesh, that means he wants to pour out his spirit on
all flesh.
On you. I'm not worried about your neighbor this morning. I'm thinking about you. Jesus wants to pour out of his spirit everything that he has upon me. Because in the last days, he said that he will pour out of his spirit upon all flesh. And the promises of Jeremiah 31 come into vogue. The promises of the new covenant that said that there was coming a day when God would no longer be external from his body or from his people, but that God would live on the inside of his people. That he would plant his law into their hearts. And the promises of Ezekiel 36, which said, under the terms of the new covenant, I'll give you a new heart, and I'll take away the sinfulness from you. I'll give you a heart that's soft, a heart that's pliable. I'll take away the stony heart. I'm talking about the benefits of the new covenant. When God installs the new covenant, from that day forward, every benefit of the new covenant becomes available to all men for all time for those who will believe. God does not change. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So whatever he died to pay for on Calvary, he wants the early church to have, he wants the middle-aged church to have, he wants the latter-day church to have, because whatever it is he died to give us, we must have it. And it's a promise of fulfillment. The born-again experience is installed on this day, and in just a few hours' time, it's that long. After the falling of the Spirit upon the apostles, 3,000 men and women in the arena of the temple would see what's going on, and Peter would preach under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, empowered with a power from another world, and 3,000 people would be baptized into Christ, crucified with Christ, buried with Christ, raised up with Christ. To live in him from a brand new power source. They would be circumcised apart. They would become new creations in Christ Jesus. They would become the temple of the Holy Ghost. Because of what Jesus did for us at Calvary, the born-again experience becomes available now, and men can be transformed, their name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Jesus himself would take them out of the kingdom of darkness and pluck them and deliver them and plant them into the kingdom of heaven, into the kingdom of God's